Now, the rest of the story. There's a man throwing up on the steps of the White House. The White House. Washington, D.C. And the man vomiting all over it is not just anybody. He's the United States Army Chief of Staff. His very good excuse for doing what he's doing is, well, that's the rest of the story. It was the Secretary of War who had asked to meet with the President that day. Accompanying him were the Army's Chief of Staff and Chief of Engineers. You see, the President was determined to balance the budget that year. He figured the only way he could do it was to reduce military spending drastically, to cut the regular Army appropriation by 51%. Anyway, the Secretary of War was so alarmed by the proposal that he requested this private audience at the White House. Surely the President could be persuaded to reconsider, he thought. But the Secretary of War was a soft-spoken gentleman. And the President, when challenged, was anything but soft-spoken. And so within a few minutes of the Commander-in-Chief's withering rhetoric, through which the Secretary of War sat pale and silent, it became apparent to all that the status of executive intentions was to remain quo. But then, suddenly, the Chief of Staff interrupted. He reminded the President that military spending had already been consistently reduced each year for the last several. With or without additional cutbacks, he argued, the nation's safety was in jeopardy. Even as they spoke, a war was brewing abroad. How then, in the event of a global conflict, could a slow-moving, ill-equipped, outdated fighting force such as ours even hope to succeed against the modernized armies of our enemies? But the President was not about to accept a lecture. And he confirmed this with a torrent of condescending sarcasm. It was about then that the Chief of Staff felt a powerful wave of nausea sweep over him, a byproduct of the extreme emotion of the moment, perhaps also a harbinger of the terrible, incredible thing that he was about to say. This is what he said. The Chief of Staff exclaimed, "When we lose the next war, sir, and there's an American boy lying in the mud with an enemy bayonet through his belly and an enemy foot on his dying throat. As that boy spits out his last curse, Mr. President, I want the name not to be mine, but to be yours." Well, the President, at first stunned and then enraged, thundered back that he would not be spoken to like that. But the Chief of Staff had already risen from his chair, was headed for the Oval Office door. Without turning, he apologized, and in the same breath, he resigned. But just as the Chief of Staff's hand was reaching for the doorknob, the President spoke again, and this time his voice was calm. He said, "Don't be foolish." He said, "You and the budget people must get together on this." But the Chief of Staff, overwhelmingly sick to his stomach by now, was barely outside on the White House steps when he threw up. Just threw up. Moments later, Secretary of War George Dern was standing beside him, announcing gleefully, "You saved the Army." And indeed he had. And maybe a lot more. For in this, the spring of 1934, the President Franklin Roosevelt stood only 7 years and some months from the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. But because the Army's Chief of Staff got so angry he stormed out and threw up in time, America's military was spruced up and ready for the Third Reich and for the rising sun. You remember the queasy Chief of Staff who saved the Army, saved the day, and won the war, General Douglas MacArthur. Only now you know the rest of the story.